All right, so I would like to introduce our speaker tonight, Kendra from
El Cajon.
East County representing.
Hi, my name's Kendra and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Kendra.
Thank you everyone for being here. It's a nice full room and you know, my palms are getting sweaty, so. Welcome, Leo, Fabio, and Jackie to a new way of life. You never have to drink or use again. You can just hang out with us. Out of control, sober people now. And Alec, Shelley, Susie, and Roger, happy birthday. Thank you for paving the way for the rest of us. So, you know, showing us that it is possible. You know, you guys told me when I first got here that this was... I could have the life of my wildest dreams, but I never knew that folding laundry for 8 hours a day sober would be my new life. But, you know, it is. And my life has changed dramatically because of this program. And so I want to thank my friends that are here from the programs, from the different meetings, and from my home group over here. I really appreciate you guys all coming to support me. I'm glad that I made you guys laugh a little bit because I won't promise that I won't make you cry. If you know anything about me, you know that ever since I got sober, I cry. So it's just my new, like, medium. But but the only time I ever cried when I was drinking was when I was apologizing for things that I did to people, which didn't matter anyways because they were tired of being around me. My background, I actually was born in Chula Vista, and I grew up in East County. I'm a foster child, and I was born addicted to drugs and alcohol. So I had a cleft palate, and I had multiple surgeries by the time I was 1 year old because I couldn't eat or drink without things coming out my nose. I was adopted into a family that was very abusive, and I went through years of a lot of torment and physical and emotional pain. My adopted parents didn't drink or use drugs. They were just, they just were the way that they were, and that's just the way that we grew up. So some of my siblings were removed, and some of us were adopted into this home. And as time went on, some of my siblings left. And it was when I was about my adopted mom did weird things like military style things, like she would make you clean the weeds on the other side of the fence, and you could come in and you were done when the weeds were gone. And so those were like our typical like thing, like you know, I don't know if any of you guys have the trees that fall down with the branches, but it was like when you're done sweeping in the front, you can go and play. But as you know, I'd go in the house and I would tell her like, hey, I'm done. And then obviously one would fall. And then so consequences were a lot of like punishments to your room. And so growing up early in my life, it was a lot of isolation and a lot of abandonment issues and a lot of like not being worthy, not being like feeling confident, not loving myself. And like I spent a lot of time in my room with Lionel Richie because I thought I was going to be a singer, and but obviously, if you've ever heard me sing, I can't sing a tune. But that was, music became something that really helped me at a young age. And then when I was 12 years old, my sister, she passed away in a car accident. And what I watched was, I watched all my siblings use drugs and alcohol to cope with it. So I was like, well, this is what you do. You use and you drink because this is the only way to get through these really difficult things. And so, you know, during the funeral and everything, I kind of just watched everybody go to the bar and kind of isolate and do all these things. And so here I am, like a 12-year-old, like, oh, okay, I want to do this too, you know? And so my sister was like, well, here's this and this. And like, you know, life went on, right? And that went on for like many years, right? It was like, before I found alcohol, I found other things, and I thought when I found that, that was the most amazing thing of my entire life, and that would solve all of my problems, but it just led into a lifetime of addiction. You know, junior high was a pretty difficult time, and my mom put us in a church school. So I went to church growing up, and so when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, it was really hard for me to find a higher power, because the God that I went to school with or went to church with would allow all these awful things to happen during the day. But then when I went to church, it would go away. But really the reality was is like, that's not the same God that I have today. And so junior high, I was like put in this like school where there's just a few of us, and all they did was drink and do drugs, and they were all older than me. So here I am around everyone that just drinks and uses, and you know, I've never snuck out. I didn't get in trouble. I didn't talk back. I didn't do anything that like would ever get me in any more punishments than I was already in on a daily basis. And so, you know, when I was 16, I got tired of the way that I was treated, and I started standing up for myself, you know? And so I guess you're not supposed to say that you're going to kill your mom because they lock you up for that. So especially when you tell them all the ways that you're going to do it. I mean, apparently it's like a no-go. So, you know, here I went to the lockdown institution, and in the lockdown institution was like one of the best things to happen to me, because I learned about things, and I had a really good time, and I met my best friend. His name was Levi, and unfortunately at that time, like, we had planned to commit suicide together, and so we had planned it for like 6 months straight. Well, he committed suicide without me, and thank God, because I'm standing here today. But that was really, really hard for me to go on without him, because he was kind of the glue that kept me together. And during high school, I swam, I did water polo, but I was a drug dealer by night, right? So I had blonde hair. You would have never known that I was the drug dealer giving everybody the drugs at school and the drugs at night and throwing it over my patio for everybody, but that's what I did. I was in a relationship with somebody that put me down a road of no return. And I was in that relationship for about 6 years, and it only fueled everything that was inside of me. And then after that, I started thinking, you know what? I can't be with this person because I don't want to be like my parents. So, you know, I decided to break up with this person and move on. And after I moved on to other things. And I got into another relationship. And what I did was I just demolished this person with my antics and my craziness and my drinking, and lie, cheat, steal, do whatever I could to hurt them. And they didn't deserve it at all. But I did that until that person said, you know, I'm done with you. You got a problem, like, you know, and thankfully he left and he moved my dog, and he moved to another state and married somebody else, and life went on. But after that happened, what happened was that alcohol became the crutch of everything that I did on a daily basis. So I wasn't that much of a drinker. I was a drinker on the weekend, I thought, right? Like, I didn't understand that, like, I had an addiction problem at that time. It was like, I just, you know, I socialize to drink, you know, and like I only do it on the weekends, but really that wasn't really the case, because I can remember the first time that I drank till the last time that I drank, and I drank it the same. I drank it alcoholically. I never was able to put it down. I never can say no. I was one of those people that had one beer in one pocket, one beer in the other pocket, and another one in the back, and I might even like hide one in my like shirt, because I didn't want to ever run out. Like, running out was like a huge problem for me, you know? And my girlfriend used to tell me, you know, why don't you go to sleep? You never sleep. And I'm like, we're drinking, we're having fun. You know, and she's like, no, you have a problem. But like, I didn't look at it like that. I was like, well, it's not my fault. Like, you're a deadbeat and you go to bed at 8 o'clock. Like, she's like, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Like, why are you still up? And like, you have to go to work in 4 hours. But I functioned for a long time like that without it really affecting a lot of stuff for me. You know, and so when my mom passed away, and I, well, first I met another guy, right? I was like, ooh, a tattoo guy. Ooh, my God, I've never been with a tattoo guy. Like, they're so hot and sexy. I'm going for him, right? So let me, like, put all my problems and drama onto another man, right? Because another man's going to fix everything that's broken inside of me is what I thought. Like, you know, everybody else is the problem, you know. My mom's the problem. My past is the problem. My ex-boyfriend's the problem. My friends are the problem. Like, I'm not the problem. Like, and so, you know, I went on to this road, and I continued to do that. And then my mom, my real mom, she committed suicide. She jumped in front of the Carlsbad train. And my brother went to prison. And then I really saw a shift in my drinking. And then I decided that I was going to be a bartender. Because don't you know I have no problem, you know? Like, why an alcoholic being a bartender? That's literally the best thing ever. And so what happened that first day, right, of being a cart girl, because I don't know if any of you are golfers in here, but if any of you men are golfers, you know that the cart girls are the ones that hook you up with alcohol. And that was me, right? That first day, it was drinking in the morning. It was like, this is your option. You can have this or this. And I'm like, oh, I'm not allowed to have hard liquor because I get in trouble. You know, and it was like, well, pick one or the other. So that's when tequila became an everyday thing for me, right, from that day forward. And so I kept on with that, and I kept on with that. And working on the golf course really, really, really dramatically shifted my life because I never drank and drove before that, and I started drinking and driving. I started drinking in the morning, hard liquor throughout the day, and it became a daily thing for me. It wasn't just a nightly after work. I thought about it, I obsessed about it, and I couldn't stop. And so I had a fast forward. I'm getting married to that really sexy tattooed man, right? And everything's going to be great, except all we do is drink together, you know? Like, we drink together, and we're great until we start drinking. And then we're just like, you know, we're just completely out of control and, like, tit for tat, right, all the time. And then I injured myself working out, and that's when it took an all-time low for me. It really did. I had a back injury from working out and then tripping at the gym, and then that's when my life went downhill very, very quickly. My mental health, my physical health, everything. And I heard a lot, there's nothing wrong with you. And nobody could see the pain that I was in, but I was in such a tremendous amount of pain that I didn't know what else to do. And so I drank, and I drank, and I drank, and I drank. And then I decided, well, I'm going to start drinking before work, right? Because now I work at a bar. I'm going to drink before work. My husband's at work. He won't know. No one will know if I go to the bar real quick. I'll just say, I used to like to do this a lot. Hey, do you want some food? Because I'll go get you some food, right? And, like, after months, it was like, where are you? You know, and I'm like, what do you mean? I'm in the drive-thru line when actually I'm like, I'm at the bar, you know, drinking. Like, I didn't care, and I didn't know how to stop. I couldn't stop for the life of me. I didn't know how. I didn't realize how bad I had got because I was so unclear-headed because of the drinking for so long. So I went to lots of doctors. They told me nothing was wrong with my back, and I drank. And I drank, and my sisters came over to my house, and they said, you know, you don't leave this bedroom. You never leave this bedroom unless you go to the bar. You're always laying here in the dark. You need to get up, and you need to start doing something. Well, you know what I did? I'll spend the day at the bar because you guys want me to get out of bed. So then that's when it became like an all-day thing. So all day I would go to the bar because, you know, that laundry that I talked about, I didn't care about that anymore. Taking care of the house, I didn't care about that anymore. The shower, I didn't care about that anymore. I didn't care about brushing my teeth. I didn't care about putting makeup on anymore. Only cared about drinking, and that was it. And it wasn't until my husband and I, we got some other stuff, some other substances. I decided to introduce him to some other substances that I hadn't been tried for a really long time. And let's talk about our life really going downhill in a short amount of time. You know, emptying our bank account and really things really dramatically changing. But he said to me, he said, you need to stop drinking. And I said, no. And he's like, you need to stop drinking. And I'm like, I'm not going to. And he's like, well, I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave. And I was like, well, there's the door. Like, I can have a lot more drinks in this house without somebody telling me that I can't drink. And it was just a few months before that, that it just, I would drink all day and I would take a nap and then I would drink. And then I would wake up and I would go to sleep and I would drink and I would drink and I would drink and I would drink and I wouldn't, nobody or anything could tell me to stop. Everybody else was the problem. And so it was Valentine's Day and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to be a romantic person. I'm going to get up and I'm going to like do this romantic dinner, you know, and I'm going to make it so special. And so like me and my girlfriend, we went to breakfast and I didn't have one, of course, because I don't have one of anything, but I had like 3 bottles of champagne. And a lot of Bloody Marias, which if you know anything about that, I like tequila and vodka makes me mean. Okay. Don't you know? It all made me mean. It all made me mean. But that was my logic, right? And then I decided, my friend had told me, you know, you need to go to the store. And I'm like, I'm going to go to the store and get the food. Like, everything's going to be great. Well, I decided to go to the bar, and I had a bunch of vodka shots. And some man had to drive my car home with the groceries in the car. And my husband found me sleeping in my own red vomit at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I woke up on the couch, and he was sitting there, and he was scrubbing the red out of our white floor, and he looked up at me, and he goes, I'm so sick and tired of this crap, Kendra. I'm so sick and tired of you. I'm not doing this anymore. And I was like, what happened, right? What happened? I had no idea. I had no idea what I did again. And if he wouldn't have came home from work, I might be dead. I don't know how long I was sleeping in my own vomit for, but we have the pictures to prove it. I've never actually looked at him because I know how bad I was. So my husband moved out, and I was like, I'm going to get another bartending job because I have so much more time for activities, right? And so I got another job, and so I started bartending, and my husband bought me a new car, and he's like, he took it from me. Thank God, because I now drove and drank all the time, right? I would call him and say, you know, I hit something. I don't know what I hit. And he's like, what? I'm like, I hit a person, you know? And he's like, well, what do you mean you hit a person? And like, I didn't know if I hit anything or not. I was just so completely just delusional in my life. And so my boss had told me for a few months, hey, you know, Kendra, you're not allowed to drink behind the bar. I'm not drinking behind the bar. I don't drink behind the bar. He's like, you're drinking behind the bar. I know you were at the bar this morning. You're not allowed to drink. I'm like, I'm not drinking. Like, what are you even talking about? Like, I'm not. And he told me for a while, like, I'm going to fire you. I'm going to fire you. I'm going to fire you, right? School I didn't care about because guess what? I was really busy. Like, if I had to study for a test, like, that was going to get in the way of my drinking, and I didn't really have time to do that. So, you know, I was the type of person that just started going to school and started taking tests drunk, which I was just getting Fs. And so I was like, you know what? I'm done with that school thing. Like, it's just not good for me. Like, you know, I'm going to be a bartender forever. And so my husband left, and I had that apartment all by myself. And I drank, because what else am I going to do? It's my only solution. I'm a drinker. That's all I do. And so it was 2 days before I went into treatment. And I had been calling my sister, right? My sister's in the program. She has 14 years. My dad, my real dad's in the program. He's got 25 years. And they had already been telling me that my life was unmanageable, that I was out of control, that I needed help. But nobody told me to go to treatment. I don't know why. Why didn't anybody tell me that, like, I needed to go to treatment? I had no idea that I needed to go to treatment. I just knew that I didn't want to keep living like this anymore. And so 2 days before I went to treatment, my sister, I was calling her every day, every morning, like 6 a.m., because that, I don't know if you've ever felt that, just that hole in your chest of the morning after, like, what did I do? Who did I hurt? is my car here? You know, like, what did I say? And like that, just that anxiety and that pain was just like so deep in me that it just, it wouldn't go away. And so I went to work and I drank, and my sister, she was the boss there. She's the boss of the bar. Somehow she does it. I just can't. And she walked in and she said, "Jonathan's coming to fire you right now." And I said, "Well, let me clock out and take a seat and have a drink while I wait." And of course, he didn't come. He didn't come to fire me. But I knew that there was something that needed to shift, and it needed to shift quick. And so I asked my husband if I could borrow that car, and I promised, I told him I wouldn't drink. Well, I found a bar down in Point Loma, and I went down and I drank down there, and I was like, this is the best day ever. I'm gonna go and get some therapy because that's what I need, right? And I went to Kaiser and I sat down, and they were like, your blood pressure is like skyrocketed levels and you need serious help. Like, how much have you drank today? And I was like, well, I went to the bar to meet some new friends. And they're like, it's 7:30 in the morning. And I'm like, I know. The bar opens at 6. Like, I'm with the old guys every morning at 6 o'clock. Like, well, I don't understand what the problem is. This is just what I do. And thankfully, I had the gift of desperation, right? I could keep doing what I was doing, or I can change my life. And they said, you need to sober up, and we have a place for you. And thank God they did, because I went to API for 13 days, and then I went to the Lighthouse in Anaheim for 65 days and did their program, and I loved it. I loved treatment. I loved being there, and when I got there, I realized I am not that man, that homeless man on the side of the road with the brown paper bag that I called an alcoholic. I am an alcoholic, and I am always going to be an alcoholic, and I've been an alcoholic since the moment I ever picked up a substance. And I knew that I wasn't going to do this anymore. I said I wasn't going to do it, and I knew I wasn't going to do it. And I got into action, and they told me, get a sponsor. And so a woman came up to the H&I, and I got a sponsor. And she said, you're going to do X, Y, and Z. She's like, you call me every day at 5 o'clock. I'd call her at 5:02. She'd hang up on me, and I'm like, what's her problem? She's like, I told you to call me at 5 o'clock. I'm like, okay, like, all right, fine. Like, I'll call you at 5 o'clock, right? And she kept telling me what to do, what to do, what to do. And she kept hanging up on me, hanging up on me, hanging up on me. And I was like this desperate person in just desperate need. And I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll call her back tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Like, this is what she keeps telling me to do. And so I did. I called her back every day at 5 o'clock. And what is something that she instilled in me really early in my recovery was, what'd you do for somebody else today? And if I told her I didn't do anything for anybody else, she'd hang up on me. And I'm like, wow, this lady is just like, I'm getting a new sponsor, right? And all my friends in treatment were like, wow, your sponsor is like a bitch. You know, like, she is like a wicked bitch. You know what? She saved my life. She saved my life because I did everything she told me to do. I said, it's Thanksgiving. I'm going home to my husband this weekend. She said, no, you're not. Why? You're not going home to your husband. You're staying here. We're doing step work. Every Sunday she came and visited me, and I did step work, and I did step work, and I did step work, and I did all my fourth step. I did all the steps. I did everything she told me to do. Ask somebody. There's some woman in this room that sat with me and watched TV, and every single night, what did I do? Step work and step work and step work. Nobody else was doing that around me. Nobody else was picking up that big book, but I kept picking it up because I didn't want to do what I was doing for so long. I didn't want to live that in that condition, you know? My sisters had taken away Auntie Kendra. My husband was gone. I didn't have a job. I had no more money in the bank. I don't have a DUI, but I was on my way to one, right? I didn't kill anybody yet. Like, all of these things that, like, were going to happen if I continue. I didn't go to jail yet, but I was on my way to do all of those things. And I didn't really like AA when I got here. I didn't like it. I really didn't. I didn't get it, and I didn't like it, and it reminded me of my, you know, dad telling me that my life was unmanageable, but somehow he was able to get all this clean time together, right? And I was like, there's something to this. And then I came back home to San Diego, and I started going to meetings. My husband, he got sober, right? Because I can't be with anybody that's not sober, because I have a really bad problem, and I don't want that stuff around me. And I've really kept that tight since I got sober. I have to really be careful with my spiritual program, because I don't want to be influenced by the wrong things. And so, yeah, that husband that left got sober, and is still sober today. And, you know, we moved in with my sister that gave us the place, right, because we lost our place. And then I found out I was pregnant. I wanted to get pregnant. I tried to get pregnant, but pregnancy wasn't in the works for me, right? And then I started working as a drug and alcohol counselor for McAllister for the adolescents. And I, through my programs, I was like, hey, how do you go to school for this, right? And I started school the same month, right? At 5 months sober, I started becoming a drug and alcohol counselor, and I started working with the adolescents. Well, guess what? I wasn't working a program. I wasn't doing anything for myself. I worked nights, and then I had a brand new baby. I had a baby that didn't eat, and he didn't sleep. And he had these rashes, and he would scream for hours. And I had nothing. I was so spiritually bankrupt. So spiritually bankrupt for a long time. And I didn't get it that I had to keep showing up. I didn't get that I needed to keep doing step work. I didn't get it, right? And then COVID. Then COVID happened, right? And I didn't go to any meetings. I didn't have any friends. The only friends I had were the ones that I drank and used with. And I was lonely. I was a lonely mother, and I was depressed, and I was sad, and I stayed that way for a few years in my recovery. It took me a long time to get spiritually fit and emotionally right. But I did it, and I haven't picked up since. And I white-knuckled it for a really long time, and I really... I kind of kept going down that road, but I decided to shift some things. And so, you know, I used to go to this meeting on Sunday morning, and I would show up once a month, and my next sponsor would tell me, you know, you have no friends because you don't show up. And I'd be like, what's your problem? Like, why can't I have friends? Well, I don't show up. You can't just show up once a month. You can't just show up for your recovery once a month and think that, like, you're going to be good. So I had to go through a lot of misery in my recovery to get to where I am today. It wasn't easy for me. I was very mad at everybody else and everybody, right? I, like, always worrying about what everyone else was doing, and I wasn't focused on what I was doing. And it wasn't until I planned my own relapse that I was like, I lost my niece to an overdose. She overdosed on alcohol, and she was 22 years old, and she died 3 years ago. And that is one of the biggest parts of my story, because she was my baby, and I raised her. And I took it very hard. As you can see, it's still very hard for me. I'm still working through it. But I didn't drink or use over it. And so my sponsor asked me to write it down, why I was upset, right? Pen to paper. And I'm like, we've done this 3 times. This doesn't help. Like, it doesn't help, right? And I went over to her house, and I read my step work to her again. And she said, you're going to make a living amends. And I looked at her, and I was like, what's that? And she was like, you're going to make a living amends to your niece, and you're going to start working this program like you should. You're going to start doing what you need to, and you're going to start warning others of the devastation that this disease causes. And I was like, whoa. She's like, I promise you that you will get out of that misery that you've been in for so long. And I was like, whoa. That next day, right, I planned to go to that bar that was so lonely. I planned to go there to drink. I didn't go to that bar. I went to the meeting the next day. I went to a meeting the next day. I went to a meeting the next day. And I started getting my tushy down all the way in the seats, and I started doing what I was supposed to do in this program. And I wish that I would have just done it from the beginning, but I didn't, right? I had to go through some ups and downs to get to where I was. But that was a spiritual experience for me. and that shifted my recovery, and that changed my life. And I don't know if any of you have lost anybody since being sober, but I could die, and I could drink, and I could use, or I could live, and I could work this program to the best of my ability. And I started doing that, and I worked my steps again, and I did what I was supposed to do, and I got commitments, and I started showing up, and I watched my life really unfold, right? I started, like, trying to become friends with people. My sponsor said, okay, now that you're ready to do this, you're going to start calling people every day, right? I'm, like, 3 years sober, you guys. Like, 3 years sober, I should, like, have this down, but I didn't. Like, I just didn't. And I started calling people every day that I didn't know. And I started finding myself more comfortable in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, for me, Alcoholics Anonymous has saved my life, and it's the most important thing today. My five-year-old's never seen a drunk mom. Because when I drink, I take it too far. And I don't want him to live the life that I had, and I don't want him to be around the same things that I did. And I want to show him that you can do hard things, right? Since I got sober, I had back surgery. I had back surgery, right? I finally had a surgeon that listened to me, and I've been in no more pain since. I have went to school to become a drug and alcohol counselor. I've got my bachelor's degree. I bought a house. I had a baby, right? All of these really amazing things, right? I told you about that girl that couldn't go to school, right? I did two schools, right? I just graduated my bachelor's with a 3.97. I never got a 3.97. I always got C minuses. I was a C minus kind of student, right? But I put everything into what I do now, and I show up. Today, you think I wanted to come down here in the rain? I'm terrified of driving in the rain, but I make a commitment, and I say what I do, and I do what I say, because that's how I stay sober today. And, you know, I've had a lot of challenges throughout my recovery, and I realized that, like my home group is sitting with me right here, like, how beautiful that all the ladies are here with me that, like, have shifted and changed my life, right? Like, only in my wildest dreams can I imagine having girlfriends that actually were there and that, like, showed up. And it wasn't, like, a constant, I'm sorry because I did this, and I'm sorry, and I'm sorry, and I'm sorry. And that really became a big thing. And I got a new sponsor, and it's been great, you know. My first sponsor told me to do something nice for somebody else. My second sponsor told me about a living amends. And my third sponsor has given me something beyond my wildest dreams, and that is community. And she has been so loving and wonderful for her. And I don't know where I would be without my home group. So if you don't have a home group, show up, right? You don't have to sit in misery like me. If you think this is, like, ridiculous, I thought it was so ridiculous, too. Like, my friend just gave me a token, and she said, yeah, Kendra was the girl in the back that was like this. I hate this. Every single meeting for a long, long time. And who would have guessed that I would be up here speaking about how much this program has changed my life? And I'm an auntie again to all those kids that weren't allowed to be around me, right? Like, you know, I was the woman that showed up at the baby shower and tried to fight your husband, you know? And I, you know, stepped on your dress at your wedding and tried to fight the groom and needed to be carried out of the wedding, right? Like, that was the person that I was, but that's not the person that I am today. And I'm so lucky that I don't have to live like that anymore. And, you know, I told you about that golf course, right? All of my friends from the golf course, the girls I hung out with, they're all dead. You know why? Because they died of this disease. Right? They died of this disease since I got sober. And, you know, my niece died. And my sister died. And that mother that did those awful things to me, right? I was able to show up for her and suit up for her this year. And I was able to take care of her until she died, right? Because that's who I am. I've done these steps multiple times. And that fourth step changed my life because I thought that working the fourth step was talking about what everyone else does, but I didn't realize that doing it changed the inside of me, right? That was another spiritual experience. I had no idea that I was the cause for all my problems because I wanted to blame it on everybody else and everything. And I don't know where I would be without these steps and without all of you guys. I mean, It's such an amazing feeling to be part of such an amazing community. And I'm one of those people that, like, I shouted out from the rooftops. I know that, you know, you might not all agree with this, but, like, everywhere I go, I tell people that I'm part of Alcoholics Anonymous. And everywhere I go, I help someone, and that's why I do it, you know. And I'm not ashamed to be an alcoholic today. I am proud of the person that I am. I'm proud of the wife that I am, and I'm proud of the friend that I am. And I'm sure proud of the mom that I am. And, you know, if you have time or you don't have time or you've struggled in your recovery and you don't want to do this, just keep doing it because it gets easier, you know. I was told that ebbs and flows, and for me it's ebbed and flowed. But I also realized that, you know, I needed to put my recovery first, and that doesn't always go well, right? Because I'm a mom that works full-time, and I have sponsees, and I have a house, and all these other things. But I try to remind myself that, like, if I don't put this first, I'm going to pick up a drink. And I don't want to pick up a drink, right? Like, I hope to get time like you ladies, right? And be able to stick around for a long time and have my best friends up here laughing with me saying all the stupid things we did in our recovery, right? Like, that's what I hope for 20 years from now, you know, having all of them. And I have such peace within myself, right? I don't react the same way that I used to. I don't treat people the same way that I used to. I had somebody the other day sit me down and tell me how I made them feel. And instead of reacting, right, I have a program of action. I know what to do, and I know how to pause. I know how to pray to my God, right? I went into the bathroom 3 times tonight and got on my knees to pray because I was so nervous about coming up here. Like, I didn't do that before. Like, who is that person, right? Like, but that person has something to live for today, and that person's me. And so, you know, it's a new way of life. You can try it, and if you're miserable, keep doing it. I was miserable, and I think that, and I think that's pretty much, I think that's just it for me. I just want to say, you know, thank you to my higher power, and thank you to my friends and my family for being here. And thank you for people that supported me along the way that wanted to give up on me when they could have, but they didn't. And they saw something in me when I didn't see it in me. And thank you for the program for allowing me to continue to grow, because I wouldn't have been able to get through these things sober, not in a million years. So I'm just so blessed to be part of you guys, and thank you for letting me be of service.
I would like to thank Kendra for driving tonight in the rain to come see us. Let's give her another hand. I hope you come back and visit us soon.